president get examined by a doctor, or did he get a neurological scan?
A neurological scan? Look, what I can say is that, just to take a step back, it was a bad night. We understand that it was a bad night. And the president has spoken to this. And he understands that. And so I cannot speak to anything beyond what I just shared. The president has regular annual physicals that we release in a thorough report. We're going to continue to do that. I don't have anything else beyond that.
What's a bad night? You know, it was a bad night. Just one night. It was a bad night. I'm so tired of them saying that because it's not a bad night. And don't let them off the hook saying that either. They're trying to let themselves off the hook and saying, oh, it's just a bad night. He just had a bad night, guys. And did you hear the latest excuse that came out last night? The latest excuse last night was, well, you know, he traveled. He was on this international flight, guys. He was traveling from Italy, you know, because he had the G7. He was traveling from Italy. And so he's tired because of the travel and that. And that ultimately, you know, that was part of why he was just so out of it and sleepy, dare I say? Is he sleepy? Yeah, so that's what it was. And so it was just a bad night. And there's no reason to freak out. That is what you were hearing over and over again. So they know that they can't make this go away. So now the tactic, what they're trying to do is reduce the damage and try to, they know that they cannot make this narrative go away. So what they're going to have to do is massage the narrative. They're going to massage the narrative. They're going to make it, you know, it's just one night, guys. It's one bad night. So that's what they're doing. And that's what you're going to hear ad nauseum. I swear to you, if I hear it one more time, I'm going to throw something. That's what you're hearing. It's just one bad night. How many nights are in 40 years, Kane?
Honestly, I don't even think he's had one good night.
No, he has not. He has not had even one good night. Come on. All right. So we've got a lot to unpack, especially if you get my emailed newsletter. I'm not even going to apologize for hammering you yesterday because there's stuff that you needed to know, but you need to sign up for it if you haven't, because you get, you know, all of this stuff way ahead of time. And the moment that something comes out, like there's a narrative I predicted, I called it first yesterday. Now you're going to start hearing it all over the Clyburn card. So again, welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you, top of this first hour on Independence Day Eve. So yesterday I had said, and you'll forgive me here, I'm pulling up literally, I thought I had this piece pulled up, but it was another piece that looked just like it because it's another lawmaker. So yesterday I had said, and I was trying to remember, when did this happen yesterday? It was when Lloyd Doggett came out. It was yesterday afternoon. It was like in our second hour, into second hour. So yesterday, Lloyd Doggett, who is an elected representative from Texas, came out and said, you know, Joe Biden's got to, he's got to withdraw from this race. That's what Lloyd Doggett was saying. And what did I tell you yesterday? What did I say? He was the first elected official to come out and say it. So now the others are going to, there's going to be more. There will be more. And lo and behold, the floodgates are starting to open. There are a number of lawmakers. There was another lawmaker that came out last night, another one this morning. They're all coming out now, and they're all saying the same thing, that okay, now it looks like it might be time. Looks like it's time. We need to have Biden step down. We need. So you have more and more Democrats. They're trying to fight to contain this debate fallout. So where to even begin? Biden staffers are absolutely terrified. They knew. So here's where all the blame is going. Let's first start there. Where have you heard all the blame being apportioned to? Debate preppers, right? A cold, international travel. Debate preppers, his staff, etc. So, apparently part of the excuse that came out, and this was a Politico piece yesterday, that Biden campaign staffers are terrified to make him angry. So when he gets his White House briefings, they edit out the bad stuff. And Kamala Harris doesn't even read hers. This came out in Politico yesterday. This is a Democrat leak. So there is right now a civil war in the Democrat Party. It is blowing up. Biden staffers terrified to make him angry. So they edited all the bad stuff. Kamala doesn't read hers. That's one leak. The second leak was, oh, well, you know, maybe it looks like he was blaming international travel. And then he just decided to go with it, I think. But the problem is that that's part of your job, dude. So then you have another Democrat. These leaks start coming out. So you have Lloyd Daga comes out. Then another leak start coming. Another elected Democrat, Jared Golden from Maine. He's saying it's time for Biden to go. He thinks that he expects Trump to win now. He said, quote, Biden's poor performance in the debate was not a surprise. More and more elected officials are starting to say this. But this wasn't the hammer that dropped. I called this first yesterday. And I called it back during 2020 when James Clyburn saved Joe Biden and made it to where Democrats had a president. So now James Clyburn has come out. This is the shot across the proverbial bow. James Clyburn has come out and he has said there's not going to be a replacement unless it is Kamala Harris. And the way he said this wasn't the way that a lawmaker who is speculating kind of as a pundit would say. He said this as this is the be all end all. Audio soundbite 6. Listen to this.
I will support her if he were to step aside, but I want to support her going forward at some time in the future. I want this ticket to continue to be Biden-Harris, and then we'll see what happens after the next election.
Now you see that? So James Clyburn, who made Joe Biden president of the United States because he went in and saved him, delivered for him South Carolina, delivered for him black voters. This is the shot across the bow because James Clyburn is a kingmaker. And what he's saying right here, he's telling the Democrat Party, don't count on my help if you have anybody but Kamala Harris. Don't come to me if you have anybody else but Kamala Harris. And he's also reminding Joe Biden, because word is that the reason that Kamala Harris was added to that ticket was part of the deal with Clyburn. And remember, Kamala Harris is an Obama team player. Joe Biden has always kind of been on his own. He was added to the ticket in 2008 to give it some gravitas, to give it, you know, an older statesman kind of guy. I know, roll your eyes, but that's why they did it. But this right here, this is a shot across the bow. There's a little bit of a power struggle here. So Clyburn's going out and saying it's going to be Kamala Harris. And then you got Gavin Newsom. You know that the Democrat governors are having a phone call today. Gavin Newsom is not content with a phone call, so he flew to D.C. last night. Gavin Newsom is in D.C. Now, he could be a consigliere. He could be, you know, say he's going to give Biden some advice on all of this stuff. I think that he's playing all sides right now. I think that he's looking at it. Newsom is like, I'll be number two or I'll be number one. That's how Newsom's looking at this. There is so much stuff that is underway. But the Clyburn, that was a shot across the bow. That was a huge, huge moment in the Democrat race with the primary, with all of these people. Now all the vultures are gathering. Now, as I said, Biden's holding this phone call with Democrat governors. Newsom's going to be there, though. While all of this is happening, the media is rushing to cover its ass. Have you seen all of this yesterday with the media? Have you heard some of this yesterday with the media? We're going to talk more about that coming up because they are rushing to save any appearance of credibility. And in the meantime, the Bidens are circling the wagons. One of the biggest hints at this is that Hunter Biden is now taking White House meetings with his dad. This was not reported by conservatives on Twitter. It came from NBC. This was NBC, and I think we have the audio from this. Play this. Audio sound by one. This was one press report. Well, first, let's get to the report. I want the report first. And then we'll get to the press briefing. So there was a report that came out. It was in NBC and it was in Slack last night. There was a report that came out, and this was, okay, thank you. Audio soundbite 17,000. Thank you, Steve. Go ahead and play it.
Well, these are new details coming in to our team, Chris, along with my colleagues, Kristen Welker, Mike Memley, and Sarah Fitzpatrick. We have learned from sources familiar with the situation at the White House that Hunter Biden has been by his father's side ever since they were at Camp David this weekend as a family, where they had some discussions about the president's potential path forward here and his reelection campaign. And that since he returned from Camp David last evening with his father, we understand that Hunter Biden has even joined some meetings and conversations that have taken place between the president and some of his most senior advisors and senior staff.
The way that they're trying to explain this away is crazy. Have you all heard this? It's because he's close with his dad, guys. Audio soundbite one. So after this report came out on NBC, like literally as we were getting off air yesterday. And then you had the White House press briefing that took place right after our radio program yesterday. This is one of the reporters asking Karine Jean-Pierre about this story. Listen.
One more. We're reporting that Hunter Biden has been in some meetings with senior advisors. Why is the president's son involved?
So a couple of things I do. I saw that reporting as I was coming out. So a couple of things there. Look, the president, as you know, is very close to his family.
Oh, boy.
This is a holiday week. 4th of July. He spent time with his family, as you all know and reported, at Camp David. Hunter came back with him and walked with him into that meeting, that speech prep. And he ended up spending time with his dad and his family that night. That is basically what happened. It is a week where there's going to be more family members who are going to come to the White House. I'm sure you'll see some of them on 4th of July. Many more are expected to be here.
With family being in the White House. The question, though, would be, is he participating in meetings with senior advisors?
What I can say is that he came back with his dad from Camp David. He walked him into the speech prep, and he was in the room. That I can tell you, he was in the room. Anything else coming out of that reporting, I can't speak to, but I can say that, you know, he's close to his family, which is not unusual. They were together at Camp David. They came back together. You're going to see a lot more family this week.
He's close to his son. Guys, he's close to his son. We have so much to unpack, but here's one big takeaway. As the Democrats are self-destructing, a friend of mine made a very good point. He wrote, the way Trump is remaining completely silent while the Democrats self-destruct is kind of scary. He says, it's like that scene in Jurassic Park where the velociraptor has learned to use the door handle. He's learning. And that is the smartest thing he could do right now. Oh my gosh, we have so much to get into. Real quick, we got culture. I got polling for you. I've got brand new polling. They haven't released the internals for Democrats yet. The internal numbers for Joe Biden, apparently they are getting ready to try to soften the blow, but it's disastrous. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at ReadyWise. ReadyWise wants to make sure that you are prepared no matter what happens. If it's a natural disaster, if it is, you know, whatever it is. You're going to be covered with ReadyWise. You don't have to have a disaster to prepare. In fact, if you're waiting to prepare, then you're waiting way too late. It's like food insurance. It's peace of mind. And you always know where your food is coming from with ReadyWise. These are high quality U.S. ingredients fabulous high quality ingredients. It's packed in this state-of-the-art U.S.-based plant. So from start to finish, you know exactly everything about your food, everything about this supply chain. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water with a 25-year shelf life. Use promo code DANA20 for 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com, code DANA20. That's going to save you 20% off any regularly priced item.
Government intervention has ruined yet another industry. After Seattle imposed a minimum wage for delivery drivers, customers, drivers, and restaurants saw less orders and longer wait times. When government messes with the free market, it fails every single time. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Hurricane Beryl is growing. That sounds like Beryl, you know. Hurricane Beryl is growing to a Cat 5. It's been blowing through Caribbean islands. Grenada went in through Barbados. It's now barreling to it's going to be heading towards Mexico, specifically right there at Monterey. And it's picked up some steam. And there's a lot. This is kind of crazy. It can't intensify anymore. There's not a Cat 6, right? This thing is huge. This sucker is huge. So it was still wiping out the Southeast Caribbean yesterday. It was on track headed south of Jamaica towards the Yucatan Peninsula. And that's the trajectory, though, so far. The last strong hurricane to hit was Hurricane Ivan 20 years ago, which killed dozens of people in a number of different island nations. The Barbados Minister of Home Affairs said that they've got drones up. The moment after Beryl passed, when the winds were safe, they got drones up and they were trying to assess the damage. That's actually amazing technology to have now that, you know, think about it. You didn't have it 20 years ago. So that's really good. So this story, pretty sure it's not any kind of injection. Many strokes, gut problems. Scientists see links to an old bout of COVID from the Wall Street Journal. I don't believe you. Yeah, they think that there's the culprit. It might still be the COVID that you got. No, it couldn't be the injection, though, right? This is a horrific story. A 69-year-old woman was killed in front of her horrified husband. Armed robbers broke into Newport Beach Mall. This is in California, Newport Beach Mall. 69-year-old woman and her husband, they were outside of Barnes & Noble at the Fashion Island Mall at 3:30 p.m. yesterday. And there were two men that approached. One of the men fired several rounds of the handgun. They dragged her out to the parking lot, hit her with a car, everything. And yeah, California. And they were arrested. It's a horrific, sad story. And I'm sure they'll probably get a wrist slap. Stick with us. We got more in store. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Is anyone in the White House hiding information about the president's health or his ability to do the job day to day?
Absolutely not.
Given the fact that it's more than a bad night when his political future is threatened, would he be willing to provide more medical information? Would he be willing to have Dr. O'Connor provide more to answer these questions?
Look, Kelly, certainly understand the question, appreciate the question, but what we have provided has been very transparent.
She doesn't appreciate the
question. Has been. But February was this year. It wasn't too long ago. It was indeed this year. And we provided a transparent report, a thorough report.
For many Americans who were concerned about his capacity.
Oh my gosh, I can't even deal. Notice the press. First off, welcome back, Dana Lash with you. Notice the press is so, they're like, wait, we can ask these questions again, guys. Hurry up. Let's ask these questions to pretend like we've been asking them all along. So can you tell us, Kareen, the president, is he doing his day-to-day job? Because, you know, it came out yesterday that he has a daily nap. There's like so many leaks coming right now. I feel like a drunk gold digger in the middle of a waterfall, just like taking everything in my pan. I don't even know how to deal with this. Kane, I'm out of popcorn.
Oh, gotta get more.
Dana, you should take this seriously. It's about the future of our country. Have you met me? So I love, first off, that the media is like, oh, it's, we're the reporters, us now? We get to, because they haven't done any of this. Look at how hysterical they are. They're running around the newsrooms in disarray. They're probably knocking each other down because they're so desperate to make it look like they've been reporting on this all along. Look at them show up with their pencil tucked behind their ears. So you're telling us, Karine. Wait, who the hell is you? Where did you start asking questions? You've been silent for years. For 4 years, you've been quiet. Now all of a sudden you're asking questions because you see the power shifting. They go where the power is, right? They go where the power is. That's like Talladega Nights when Ricky Bobby lost his wife. And she's like, I go with the race car driver. I go with him. Like when Ricky got into his accident before his daddy rehabilitated him with a puma in the backseat, right? And he ended up losing his wife. And she went with the other, that travels, follows power. The media is just like that. They're like Ricky Bobby's wife from Talladega Nights. They follow power. So now they're going to start asking questions. They see these leaks coming out. That's a signal to them. Oh, it's okay to start asking these things now. Mm. We can start asking these questions. Mm. Yes, that's so. Is anyone hiding information like this? Audio soundbite 2. Listen to these questions now. Listen.
I'm going to ask something delicate, and you may not like it. The president may not like to hear it if he's watching, but I think the American people need to get a yes or no answer on this. Does President Biden, at 81 years old, have Alzheimer's?
Oh my gosh.
Any form of dementia or degenerative illness that might cause these sorts of lapses? And it's a yes or no question. And if you don't know, why don't you, as one of his senior staff members, know?
I have an answer for you. Are you ready for
it?
Yes. It's a no. And I hope you're asking the other guy the same exact question.
Oh, so they're, listen to it. They're, please don't beat us. I'm going to ask this question because we got the green light that it's okay to ask it now. Please don't kill us. Is it okay, Karine? Like he's flinching. Like he's, you know, waiting. Like he's waiting to get hit. These people are rat bastards. You know why? Because they didn't ask a single one of these questions for 4 years. They knew it. They're culpable in it. I saw this tweet from, Big Tater over at CNN. He didn't was CNN anymore. Yeah. Sorry. I swear to you, he tweeted this. Hands to sky. Big Tater, spending G's. He's tweeted, my humble message for everyone enraged at the news media right now, the crisis of faith and Biden's capabilities is not a media creation. Democratic Party officials are the ones driving this conversation. I'm sorry. Hold up here, Tater. Hold up. Let's pull this Prius over for a second and have a little convo. What do you mean that the crisis of faith and his capabilities is not a media creation? Are you kidding me? You fluffers hit it for 4 years. You hid it for 4 years. You didn't hide it. We all saw it. And we all asked questions. And what'd y'all do? You called us conspiracy theorists. You called us names. You said that we were making fun of his stutter. You said all these things. I mean, surely y'all remember this. Because I remember it just as clear as day. I mean, it literally a couple of weeks ago, the Washington Post, when the White House, when Karine Jean-Pierre forgot that it was deep fake and called it cheap fake, they gave 4 Pinocchios to these videos that showed clearly Biden is about to defecate his drawers, right? He's like barely cognizant of where he is. And it gave the, it dismissed, in fact, here what it was. It was a, quote, pernicious effort to reinforce an existing stereotype. Washington Post was telling everyone that you were lying and they gave you these little cutie Pinocchios. You get a Pinocchio. You're going to get a kick in the butt. Give me a Pinocchio. This is true. We all see this. We see him. We see him falling down on flat surfaces, not remembering where he is, calling on dead people at events that have been dead for quite some time. We see all of this. And y'all were saying just 2 weeks ago, oh, well, you know, you're going to have to get 4 Pinocchios. I mean, they're leading people with cheap. Here's the headline. Cheap fake Biden videos enrapture right-wing media, but deeply mislead. This was the Washington Post 2 weeks ago. A particularly effective attack on a political candidate can come in the form of a video snippet that appears to reinforce an existing stereotype. The social media feed of the RNC regularly churns out misleading clips of President Biden intended to show that he is too old for the job. Oh, and they keep going. They quote White House Press Secretary Andrew Bates, saying that, well, you know, fortunately, some of President Biden's right-wing critics don't respect their readers. They're basically saying that, you know, you're all stupid. And then they add in their Pinocchio's tests. The use of these clips is an especially pernicious couple of examples of manipulated video. Could you use more, like, bad grammar? Thank you. What we label isolation under our guide to manipulated video because it's intended to create a false narrative, blah, blah. So now they're like, well, wait a minute. Why is no one asking about this? The same people, hands to sky, are now asking, well, why are no one's asking about this? I mean, this is... Now, there were some... Let me pull this up. I have so many examples for you. We could be here legit all day. Oh, I came ready today. I mean, I come ready every day, but I was just eating all the popcorn that we have in Texas, watching all this stuff. So now what they're saying is, well, you know, one of the reasons maybe perhaps we were hesitant to report on this is because, you know, talking about old age is very delicate. I don't care about that. When you're talking about the White House, you're not talking about sitting grandma down and asking her if she's too old to drive anymore. It's a completely different scenario. This is the leader of the free world, the largest, most powerful nation on God's green earth. And you're afraid to ask tough questions because you think that talking about old age and political office is just delicate. Then you're too delicate for your damn job because you're not there to be delicate. You're supposed to be the attack dog on behalf of voters. The watchdog on behalf of voters. You're not supposed to be limping around like a beaten animal, too terrified to ask your political betters questions that you're supposed to be asking by very nature of the creation of your industry. These people are all culpable. I do not let a single one of them off the hook. I'm not going to give them kudos for just now. Oh, well, wow. So-and-so Jake Tapper of CNN was asking some tough questions. So-and-so Kelly O'Donnell's asking some tough questions. Oh, this. They were all in on this until like 2 weeks ago. This didn't change until they saw the signal coming down, the bad signal coming down from the White House. Oh, well, guy looks like he might be on his way out here, might be withdrawn from the race. Then, only then, did they feel that it was safe for them to do their jobs. And they're only doing it so that they can position themselves to be adjacent to the next person with power. That is the only reason they're doing this. I mean, the fact that stuff like this has been hid for so long, and the fact that they attacked all of us when we brought it up, it's the great Biden cover-up. You know, like, for instance, ProPublica released this interview wherein it was an unedited interview that they just released yesterday. This interview was conducted 9 months ago. Why are they now releasing an unedited interview of Biden that was conducted 9 months ago? Well, they said, quote, "We believe it is worth giving the public another chance to see one of Biden's infrequent conversations with a reporter." No, you didn't. The first interview, the first time you released this interview, it was all edited and it was very short. And now he has all of his flaws and his blemishes in it. And you did it to add to this. You did it to cover your ass. You did it to make it look like you're being honest and transparent with the reader. ProPublica, left-leaning site. You Pravdas. And then you have, listen to this. Susan Glasser, who's with New York Magazine, tweets, "Well, this is such a key point. You know, where were all of these folks when Biden's decision to run again could have been headed off? When so many took a pass on thinking about the implications of someone asking for a second term that would have him serving to age 86, where were you? I just gave you the example of Washington Post 2 weeks ago, calling us liars, giving us four Pinocchios. You guys were calling us conspiracy theorists, all of you. You were saying that it was right-wing narrative, all of you. You were saying that it was cruel, that we were mocking his stutter, or that we were just trying to deflect from Trump, or whatever, whatever. Now, again, now they're only admitting that everything that we've seen for the past 4 years is true because it was impossible to say that it was a deep fake or a cheap fake to watch Biden stand side by side with Trump, a guy who's almost his age, at a debate. It's not an issue of age. It's an issue of cognitive health. And that was put on clear display. I mean, you had two similarly aged dudes who were on the stage and only one of them really knew where he was. All these people are right there with it. I mean, this coming from Semaphore. Jill Abramson, these NBC people telling Semaphore, the Biden White House clearly succeeded in a massive cover-up to the degree of the president's feebleness and his serious physical decline. You got this in the newsletter that went out last night. They literally said this. That's what Jill Abramson told Semaphore, a news outlet. This is crazy. Semaphore wrote, quote, "It's clear the best news reporters in Washington have failed in the first duty of journalism to hold power accountable, to find out the truth. The Biden White House clearly succeeded in a massive cover-up to the degree." No one. They did not cover it up. You covered it up. You could have reported on it. They don't have the power to cover it up. You do. And you rat bastards in the press covered it up. Just like you covered up the censorship with the White House and social media. Just like you covered up everything that Fauci was doing. Just like you covered up the fact that masks didn't work and the injections did not actually transfer immunity. Just like you covered up how the Russian collusion story was absolutely fake and that you knew that all of these intelligence officials that signed onto this letter were lying and that they signed onto the letter knowing that they were lying. You covered that up time and time and time again. You are not the victim. You are part of the problem, and in some instances, you are worse. We expect this of Marxist politicians. But as we approach Independence Day, I'll have our so-called free rat bastard press remember that this country was founded on the sacredness of the free press, which they spit on, the legacy of which they spit on every single day. They don't do their due diligence, and they have the audacity to turn on the people whom they are supposed to report for, to turn on the people from whom this government gets its authority by way of consent, to turn on the very people, to turn against the animating spirit of liberty that made this nation so amazing. They're really, truly responsible in all of this. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines. Gold Co., this is just a smart thing to do to protect everything that you have saved. You've worked so hard. Why in the world would you endanger that by not diversifying and protecting it with Gold Co.? I mean, you don't want to sit here and wait for whatever happens in November. Who knows what's going to happen? It's still incredibly close. I mean, we're already paying like $7 for a dozen eggs. Come on. So you need to make sure that you protect everything you've worked your life to accumulate, everything that you've worked your life to save, and Gold Co. can help you do it. You can visit danalikesgold.com and learn how to get started. You'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. Join the thousands of people who have called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. Diversify your money with time-tested, safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Now, Gold Co. is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner. They've got thousands of five-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. No pressure, dedicated to transparency. Visit danalikesgold.com and learn how you can get started today. You'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. That's danalikesgold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
How are all of these disasters related?
Well, Kate, science said there would be days like this. This is just the result of an overheating planet. We got 1.5 trillion extra tons of heat-trapping pollution, carbon dioxide, methane, around this planet, and it's getting hotter. There's a forecast for Death Valley for Monday, 130 degrees, which is the temperature of a medium-rare steak, to give you perspective. And if that's where the planet is headed, it affects different ecosystems differently. Everywhere, if you live out west, it's going to affect outdoor workers, outdoor activities, the vulnerable. Triple digit, these heat domes that really prey on older folks.
Oh my gosh, yes, the domes, the predatory domes that wake up in the morning and they're like, what old people can we fry now? This guy, don't you love people just getting up and just saying whatever the hell pops into their head? Yes, you know, in the weather domes that are created by the aliens with their space lasers out in deep space. You know, they prey upon old people, these heat domes. They look like giant boobs over the continental U.S. is what they look like. And they're just domes of heat, and they're filled with noxious heat and gases, and with the aliens, with the lasers, you know, that we talked about in deep space. I mean, it's just truly, you know, and the way that you can best offset this is by just shooting money into the sun. And that's the best way to do it, because the sun needs a sacrifice. Now, you know, back in the day, we threw virgins and volcanoes. Now we're just, you know, paying for indulgences and carbon credits and all that good stuff. Back to you.
Science.
Science. That's what it is. Oh, my gosh. Or it's called summer. What?
Wait, so hurricanes are forming during hurricane season?
Yes.
And that is...
Yes.
That's global warming, huh?
Yeah, it's whatever is convenient for them to try to scare you with something.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If when the asteroid comes, could the sharp parts just hit that guy first? Is that possible? You know, I mean, I don't want to call for the destruction of anybody's life, but I'm just saying when smog comes, the sweet meteor of death.
If the asteroid comes, it'll burn up in the atmosphere just big enough to hit him right in the head.
Yeah, just make sure the longest, pointiest shard is going at that guy, okay? Just saying. You know, we're all going to get it, but can the longest, pointiest shard be his? Thanks. Just asking for some friends. All right, coming up, the leaks keep on coming. They're just, it's like, it's breaking down, guys. They're having a staff phone call today, a big giant staff phone call with all the White House. They're having the governor's discussion. James Clyburn shot across the bow. I mean, it is total chaos right now for Democrats. And Trump is very smartly staying quiet. Stay with us. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
First of all, Stephen, who are we agreeing? There's a long list of Democrats, Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, the list goes on and on and on. You've named four or five people. Where is their consensus? You've got to build consensus. And there is not consensus right now. If you pick a white man over Kamala Harris, black women, I can tell you this, we're going to walk away. We're going to blow the party up.
So that is a California delegate who's saying that if Democrats choose a white man to replace Biden over Kamala Harris, then that's they're not going to go out and support. I don't know if I believe that to be true, because Kamala Harris was the least supported even amongst black voters in the Democrat primaries of all of the candidates in the Democrat primaries. So there's just not a lot of receipts there that make me believe her. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. We're at the top of this second hour in a very weird very weird Independence Eve because of all of the blowups with the Democrat Party. And you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, watch the simulcast as well on Channel 347 DirecTV. You can find us on X, Rumble. There's always a discussion in Rumble. They have the McGroin crew in the Rumble discussion today. So always, always fun. Always join. So this delegate, I don't think I'm being dismissive in saying that I just don't believe her simply because I don't believe that didn't happen when she was when she had to drop out of the primary debate. But also, I just feel like that's so one-sided and hypocritical. I mean, I'm all for Democrats, you know, tearing each other up. I mean, they have all of these different identity groups and they played them too long and now here's the consequence. But let's not forget that they had a white woman step aside for a black man coming from Illinois. So I'm just saying, you know, Hillary Clinton was told to step aside for Barack Obama, and that created a lot of tension within that party, and it created a lot of problems that we're all still dealing with today. So let's be kind of realistic about some of this. Further, I don't trust people. I have a hard time trusting politicians, especially if they have no record and they've never been governor. I always default to governors. If there's a governor running against like a senator or a rep, I tend to default to a governor, unless it's like a bunch of people that I don't like and like Doug Burgum. And then that's not going to happen. Or a bunch of like senators or reps and then Doug Burgum. Not going to happen. But this idea, and remember, this has been co-signed by James Clyburn. He had the shot across the bow. He's saying that he's going to support. I'm going to play this one more time. Audio soundbite 6. This statement right now is the biggest statement in the Democrat primary. Listen to this.
I will support her if he were to step aside, but I want to support her going forward at some time in the future. I want this ticket to continue to be Biden-Harris, and then we'll see what happens after the next election.
So I say this, remember, we've talked about this. He made Joe Biden president. Joe Biden wouldn't be president without James Clyburn. James Clyburn is now trying to use his muscle to send a shot across the bow saying, look, you're not going to be replacing Kamala Harris. The problem is Kamala Harris doesn't have likability. She is not a likable candidate. She doesn't seem genuine. And there's nothing that James Clyburn can do to offset her deficiencies as a candidate. Those are her deficiencies that have nothing to do with sex or race, ethnicity or anything else. They're just her deficiencies as a candidate. Now, in the meantime, they're having a Democrat governor's call today. The reporting was that Gavin Newsom flew to D.C., because he's definitely wants to be considered number one. He's put in a lot of time. I don't know what, and that's the other thing. Kamala Harris doesn't really have a record to run on. Borders are. I mean, that's the biggest thing that she was assigned. That would tank her itself because there are so many Democrats that are livid over what's been happening at the border. But if it's going to be somebody like Gavin Newsom, and we'll talk about this more should this, you know, end up being the reality. If it's somebody like Gavin Newsom, you need to consider all of the baggage that he has. And we talked about some of it yesterday, but I haven't even gotten into the high speed rail. I haven't even gotten into the water, you know, desalination plant. None of that. I mean, it's horrific. So that's a whole other topic of discussion that, you know, if he becomes the nominee, we'll talk about, or if it looks likely, we'll talk more about. But this is a problem that Democrats created it. I think that Biden's people believed that they were going to be able to use him as the avatar for their agenda, and that he would, I'm trying to figure out how to put this, that he would last through a second term. Does that make sense? Yeah. And the reason I say this, and I was going back and forth, and if I wanted to have like a ton of different videos over the span of the past 4 years showing you guys know, I don't need to, you know, beat a dead horse. And at some point, even though I think he deserves it because of his petty nature all through the years, at some point for me, it feels cruel because these clips are so bad. When you start to play them successively like this, they're just so bad. But I mean, it's very clear in the, like, even in 2018, when he was like hinting about running and then you had the midterms, he was so much more with it. 2019, 2020. And then he clearly had an episode. And then it just got worse from there. Because remember, a cognitive decline like this is a slow decline. It doesn't happen. You don't go to sleep and then wake up and you're cognitively impaired like this. So this was happening for a long time. My point in saying that is that all of these people around him had more than enough time to say, You know, he's not ready to do this again. He can't do, or he can't do this again. This isn't, you can't have it. Now, the excuses are still coming. Did you notice he was orange the other day? Yeah. He was orange yesterday. There was a meme going around where Biden was looking at Trump going, I'm the orange man now. You know, the whole, can't remember what movie that was, with Tom Hanks, and they got, that boat got captured. Oh, yeah. So they, I got to put this up, Politico. Biden family also blames CNN for bad makeup. Again, they said that he was too pale. Now, all of a sudden, he's completely orange. He was as orange as the day is long. And that seemed very weird. That's very weird. They're just, they're all freaking out. The whole White House is freaking out. Democrats are turning. Here's the other story I was telling you. Democrat staffers are absolutely terrified. This is all coming, you know, to a head. They're terrified of him. This story, Kamala doesn't read her daily briefings. It says, and Joe Biden's staff, the quote was, scared S-less of him. Terrified of him. Because he's so mean and so crabby. That's the real Joe, by the way. It said a former underling of Kamala Harris says she routinely refused to review briefing materials and would scold employees when she appeared unprepared. They said that she was a workplace bully and that more staffers are considering leaving her office. Four top aides to Harris will exit in the span of about a month. And they said staff are leaving because they're burned out and they don't want to be permanently branded a Harris person, Axios reported. And among those leaving are Simone Sanders, her chief spokesperson. So they also Peter Velez, director of press operations, and another staffer. So they're saying she didn't read any of this. Biden's briefings are curated for him so that he doesn't receive information that will set him off. I and this is an Associated Press piece. This is wild.
Decency's back in the White House?
Yeah, decency's back in the White House. Or Associated Press. This is an Axios piece. A lot of the leaks are coming from Axios, which I think, Axios and Politico, which I think is interesting. So Biden's staff, they're scared of him. They're terrified of him. They want to curate his stuff because they don't want him to get bad news. And it keeps coming. Yeah, this is the Politico piece. We've all enabled the situation is the headline. Dems turn on Biden's inner sanctum post debate. His senior team management are getting more strictly controlled. This is so devastating. One official said, quote, you can't include that talking about information that will set him off. Or put that in because he likes that. It's a Rorschach test, not a briefing, because he is not a pleasant person to be around when he's being briefed. It's very difficult. People are scared S-less of him. That end quote. That's what they said. They said he doesn't take another quote, another official. He doesn't take advice from anyone other than those few top aides, and it becomes a perfect storm because he just gets more and more isolated from their efforts to control it. Wow. So he doesn't get fully briefed because he only wants good news. And then Kamala doesn't read it at all. And they said that he also gets naps. Don't forget the nap.
That's our top two?
Yeah.
That's our top two.
They said his debate prep started at 11 a.m. and then he had a nap. So he had a full hour and then he had a nap. New York Times, Biden lapses are said to be increasingly common and worrisome. These are all stories that have just come out in the past 24 hours. I'm not even kidding you. It is a waterfall right now. They said people have spent, this is the New York Times, people have spent time with Biden over the past few months or so, said the lapses have grown more frequent, more pronounced, and more worrisome. Oof. Oof. And then he gets, you know, the nap times. Now they're saying, oh yeah, he works a couple hours, takes a nap, works a couple hours. Oh my gosh. This is just, it's so bad. It's so bad. And this is going to be reflected in the polling. So I'm going to pull this up. One of the stories that's coming out is that their internal polling, the Biden's internal polling, is not looking well, and that they're going to try to, downplay the severity of it, while also acknowledging that, you know, they're not performing as they should. So they have to acknowledge the reality of it. These are their internal numbers that they do. No push polling, just serious surveys so that they can get a better, and they keep it private so that they can better ascertain what they need to do. And in the meantime, it's really close in battleground states. Here's a, here's some of the headlines. Who's afraid of Kamala Harris? No way to restore illusion that Biden's fit for presidency. This is just wild. Just wild. In 40 years, I've never seen Democrats panic like this, written by a Democrat. If Biden is unfit to run for president, he's unfit to serve. Running Biden against Trump is just irresponsible. These are left-leaning publication headlines from Real Clear Politics. That's crazy. And they're even saying this, Banger Daily News, Representative Jared Golden. This is the Democrat, another one of the Democrats coming out. Trump is going to win. Democracy will be fine. This is wild. Now, in the meantime, Biden is planning on a public blitz to push back on the pressure to leave the race. This is new coming in from the Associated Press. I don't think that's going to work, guys, because it's not going to be one event that saves it. We're going to talk more about this here coming up. We got to get into headlines. It is the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they want to make sure that not only are you saving money, but that your hard-earned dollars aren't going towards things like DEI advocacy and gun control promotion. Because I guarantee you, if you are using any other cell phone service, you're supporting that. So just compare this. You know, here we're getting ready to celebrate Independence Day. You know, we dump tea in the harbor for less. If you are paying for a cell phone service where they're taking your money to advocate for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up till the moment of birth, I mean, again, what would the founders say about your cell phone service? You need to switch. George Washington would. I feel completely confident in saying that as well. And you're backing not only what you believe in, but you're saving money. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. They got a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so you're maintaining and creating U.S.-based jobs. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Why are we doing this? So the U.S. is going to pay Moderna $176 million to develop an mRNA pandemic flu, quote unquote, vaccine. Why are we doing this again? They want to accelerate it because of the bird flu concerns. Sorry, I'm just not really feeling the bird flu thing. Let's see. This is a lot. So student loan borrowers owe $1.6 trillion. And nearly half of them aren't paying. Now, remember, this was made so much more expensive by Democrats. And I think they did it as a way to get more revenue into the government. Just for that, because they took everything over. They decided to enrich themselves and enrich these colleges and universities on top. That's all this is. So they said that this 3-year timeout on federal student loan payments because of the pandemic, millions of borrowers have not been repaying it. You're looking at what, half of, I mean, that's what, that's $800 billion. Holy cow. Michelle Obama, people are booking her or counting on her to maybe become president. They're saying that her chances surge with bookmakers via Newsweek. I just don't see this happening. I don't. I'm going to move on from this. Tim Burton's Beetlejuice, the sequel, is going to open the Venice Film Festival, which is so incredibly fitting. And I like Tim Burton and I like Danny Elfman, so I'm going to go see these. Obviously, I'm totally going to go see this movie. Hi, goth kid, saying. But Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, they're all in it. Monica Bellucci is in it. Willem Dafoe is in it. Super excited about all that. And it doesn't look super woke either. Tim Burton doesn't really do woke. And they tried to get at him before on that, and he just sort of slapped them all away and was like, blank you. I got blank you cred. Bye. So I respect that. Also, Walmart was evacuated and several were sickened after a foul odor permeated a Pennsylvania store. It was in Lower Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Shoppers had to be evacuated. They said that 9 people were taken to the hospital. Apparently, it was animal repellent that had been returned by a customer. Oh, boy. On the way, we've got the continuing battle for the Democrat nomination as the leaks are pouring out. Dam is breaking. Stay with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anderson, I think it's fair to say the dam is breaking. Top Democratic Party leaders, this includes former and present administration officials, as well as major party donors, are now saying out loud what we've been hearing privately for days, that after what was a disastrous debate performance, they want President Biden to step aside for the good of the party and the country.
I don't know where they go from here. This is just, it is, the dam has burst. That was on CNN. And CNN is just, they're just freaking out right now. Audio soundbite 16. Listen to this. This has all been within the span of what came, maybe 12 hours?
Yeah.
Listen to this.
But other party leaders we talked to are already floating the idea of opening it up to all contenders, having, let's call it, a 5-week speed dating.
Really? MSNBC.
Maybe having debates.
They're also completely freaking out. Over at MSNBC, this was from just this morning when you had one of the Nepo babies talking to Sam Stein, and he floated. Now, I want you to listen and check the reaction of when Sam Stein suggests Kamala Harris replacing Biden. Listen to the reaction on this.
And on top of that, she has some experience debating Republicans at this level, including making the case against Donald Trump, right? That would be the logical extension here. I agree with you. The other ones, they are untested.
You heard the sigh, right? Like, don't say her again. Seriously, her. Yeah, well, it's half the Democrat Party. And then speaking of that, this is Audio Soundbite 19. So J.B. Pritzker was asked, what do you think of Kamala Harris? I feel like they all have to rehearse their responses at this point. Listen to this.
Would you support a Vice President Harris? I mean, the polling from CNN today, she's polling better than he is with independents, and that she is actually within striking distance of Donald Trump in that hypothetical matchup.
Well, the Democratic Party has a great bench, and I think you and I both know there are some hyper capable people that whose names have been mentioned as potential for the future. But right now we're focused on the 2024 race and the fact that Joe Biden is
the man is not answering this question. Pritzker is not going to answer that question. He's not going to answer it because it's just how can he? So would you support Kamala Harris? Well, you know, there's a lot of great people like people whose names rhyme with Midge B. Schmitzker. Who would be great for, I'm telling you what, it is stunning, 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 stunning. Now, I don't know what they think they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to get out of this problem And then you have this, audio soundbite 8, another Democrat representative, because they're all coming out. And now, where was all this criticism weeks ago? This is Representative Quigley, who says that the Biden campaign failed to make people comfortable. And really, what he's talking about are like those, the big donor class. Listen to how he said what the Biden campaign failed at right after that horrible debate.
I mean, look, I don't need a call. You know, I don't, my ego's not that big, but I think it's telling that in the days after a bad debate from President Obama midway through his time in office, he made those calls immediately. Unfortunately, very sad, those calls weren't made by President Biden immediately to reassure people, to help them understand. With respect, it shows again an indication of a bigger problem.
Yeah. They have no idea what's going to happen. They have no idea what's going to happen. And then you have this. It keeps coming. Representative Perez saying that she doesn't think Biden's going to Biden's going to pull out of this one. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 9. Sorry.
Last month's debate, which, as we all know, did not go well for him. Do you think the president should remain in the race or should he step down?
Yeah. About 50 million Americans tuned in and watched that debate. I was one of them for about 5 very painful minutes. And we all saw what we saw. You can't undo that. And, you know, the truth, I think, is that Biden is going to lose to Trump. I know that's difficult, but I think the damage has been done by that debate.
Wow. Wow. These are Democrats that are saying this. And in the meantime, according to murmurings from D.C., Biden and Harris, they say they're going to fight for re-election on the staff call. They have a staff call coming up. And a new poll, National New York Times Siena poll, 49-43 right now in favor of Trump. So they have no idea. They're losing their minds. Now, I like the fact that my political opponents are in such disarray, and I like to watch them squirm and feel very uncomfortable. But at the same time, I reserve a little bit of energy for caution. And that's because I don't want anybody worse. I mean, I can't imagine having anyone worse, but they'll surprise you. I mean, you know, if there's one thing that they can do is they got a worse candidate that they can give you. So I'm just a little, you know, and the reason I say this is because of this story that I've been talking to you about. Politico has finally confirmed it. Gavin Newsom is in Washington. Now, he's standing with Biden in Washington. Is he standing with him with a knife to his back? I'm just curious, like rhetorically speaking. Is that, it says that Newsom traveled to Washington today. He is there attending the meeting. Now, remember, this is a Democrat governor phone call, which is why I thought this was weird. Kane, right? It's Democrat governors on the phone, but Newsom's like, I'm not going to get on the phone. I'm going to go there. So he's gone to D.C. and he's attending this. And he's, according to his spokesperson, quote, Newsom will head to the White House tomorrow. This is last night when he said it, to attend the governor's meeting and to stand with the president. He is, you know what he's doing? Here's why Newsom is weird. He fights like a chick. Right? Chicks fight like chicks. Dudes do not. And so when you see this guy like Newsom cozying up to Biden, no, I've got your back. I am totally right 1,000% behind you. I completely support you. Oh, what, reporter? You're asking me a question about whether or not Biden should get out of the race? How dare you ask me something like that? I mean, one event, come on. You know, what would the party be if we just, you know, turned our backs on people for one thing? Come on, I'm going to D.C. now. You know, I'm going to go stand with the president, stand with him in his time of need. That is so mischievous. It's too Machiavellian by half. Except I don't think that he's super smart. You can have good instincts and also not be super smart. That's the thing that can happen. Now, the reason I say that he's fighting like a chick is because that's what chicks would do. Think about how many stories you've heard in the press where a girl cozies up to another girl and yes, girlfriend, you know, I have your back and we are friends. And then the girl A finds out that her fiance or boyfriend or whatever has been cheating on her. And she goes and confides in girl B, and girl B is like, that's so horrible. Can you believe, oh my gosh, how can he do? And then she finds out girl B is the other woman. That's Gavin Newsom. That's him right now. Kane, how right is this assessment?
Yeah, it's almost literal. It's almost literal.
Would you try, if you, Kane, if you were president of the United States and you were in a sticky wicket and you saw Gavin Newsom coming down to stand with you, what would your first thought be?
Oh, man. I don't even, that could make it worse.
It's like a horror scene from a Brian De Palma film, right?
Right. Ooh. I don't, do you think he was asked to join?
No.
You think he just did this on his own?
Probably. Do you honestly think that Joe would be, unless he's that desperate that he needs Newsom out there?
Like, I don't know. This is all weird.
Maybe he's bringing him some French laundry takeout.
And you know what's going to happen is a lot of stuff over this holiday weekend that it'll take a couple days for the news to actually disseminate it all out.
Yes. Yes. I completely agree. Yeah. So Biden and Harris are on the campaign call. They say they're going to keep on fighting. And oh, all the reporters, ABC, AP, all of them are on. Now, when is the last time you saw all these reporters do this? If they're on, and it's not, they don't have these regular calls in the Biden White House, but it's not unusual. I mean, you have them with House calls, Senate calls, you'll have them with White House staff calls. I mean, it's not unusual. But what's unusual is that there are so many of these reporters that are tweeting out all of this stuff, right? Isn't that what's unusual? Yeah. I've not seen that to this extent before. And this is, here's the other thing that's interesting. So Axios is, I think, the biggest vulture in this game right now with all this. They're watching all this and reporting everything. So they just caught, so Gretchen Whitmer had tweeted, I'm fired up and ready to fight like hell to elect Joe Biden and Democrats up and down the ticket this November. Are you with me? The link directs to her PAC, not the Biden campaign or the DNC. Oh, this is crazy. Thoughts, Kane?
And in order for the campaign money that's so far collected to be used, Kamala has to be on the ticket.
Well, if it's a PAC, they can. I think they can transfer it from a PAC. If it's like a group, if it's to the campaign, then it has to go.
But
to
yeah, if I'm a strategist in the Democrat camp, I'm gonna want to, I'm gonna want a war chest. And how am I going to get this war chest if Biden's dropping out? It has to go through Kamala.
Isn't this a testament, too, to how much Kamala Harris is disliked? Because there are some folks making some decent points that, well, if this was anybody but her, this wouldn't have been an issue. There would have been an immediate switch. She would have, if it was anybody else, they would have, But it is a testament to how much she is disliked and how unpopular she is and how she cannot raise money. All of these things are incredibly important if you're talking about ascending to the top of the ticket. This is wild. And we have a lot more on the way. We've got Florida Man coming. So you don't want to miss as we move. Our partners over at Black Rifle Coffee, some really good coffee. Veteran-owned, veteran-run. There are a lot of mainstream coffee companies like Starbucks that just can't stand them because they're mainstreaming support for first responders and love for 2A and just good coffee, right? Dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes, they also develop explosive roast profiles, all crafted right here in the US of A, using the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms worldwide. They roast them in Utah and Tennessee. You got all kinds of choices, ground, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you'd want. You should join, if you haven't already, you should join the Black Rifle Coffee Club because you get your whatever roasts you want, you choose how many, your frequency of shipment, and with free shipping, it arrives on your doorstep, and that's saving you money. And you can get 20% with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com when you go today. So see it for yourself. Blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a video shows cops tracking down a Florida man who tried to evade arrest by swimming to a small island. Wasn't going to happen. How many times do we have to talk about this where they try to swim away and it ends up not happening because you're not going to do that. It's not going to happen. So this had to do with, this was in Port Orange, and body cam footage south of Daytona Beach. Officers went out to confront Jarrell Joyner, who was that by the Intercoastal Waterway. He had called police just like earlier and dared them to arrest him. And then police, after searching the islands, they said they found Joyner sleeping inside of a green tent. They ordered him to keep his hands up as they opened the tent. And they go, what's the problem? And he was asking officers, what's the problem? What's the problem? And they were like, you literally wanted us to, what's going on? Anyway, he looked really drunk. And there was, it's all on camera. This is all on camera. This is so crazy. Let's see here. This a Florida man left a toddler at the roadside after a suspected carjacking in a car seat. Police say the woman clung to the car. Her said her child was inside as the car sped away. This came from the Miami New Times. And so a Florida man was arrested after he carjacked this mom. And Broward County Sheriff arrested the 35-year-old after an anonymous tip identified him as the person leaving the 3-year-old in a car seat on the side of the road in Fort Lauderdale. And he was booked into the main jail, BSO's main jail, kidnapping, carjacking, interfering with the custody of a minor, all of that stuff. And it occurred at 8:30 in the morning. So thankfully, it wasn't like right when the sun was the hottest. But what happened was the mother and her daughter were involved in a car crash with another vehicle. And it was when the mom got out to exchange information that with the other driver that a man literally jumped in her car and drove off. So it wasn't like she left her car running with the door wide open and went inside for several minutes. You know, it wasn't anything like that. So thankfully, the baby's okay, but good night. That's terrifying. This, a Florida correctional officer called 911 to complain about being cited for repeatedly honking his horn. Douglas Moore said he allegedly said he was honking his horn because it makes him drive faster. And he got a citation for it. You can get a citation if you honk your horn too much.
I imagine excessive noise, maybe.
I mean, I guess so. But he was like, it makes me drive faster when I honk it. You know what? I would imagine that is true because people get out of your way. I would think that. After he got cited, the deputy said Morse became angry and abusive and then called 911 to complain about it. And that's when he got arrested because you can't make false reports to 911. Why would you do that and get, I don't know, why would you get lippy like that when you're getting pulled over and then call 911, right? Because you know that that's illegal if you're calling 911 right in front. I mean, good grief. Let's see here. This, a Florida man bank robber handed a note to a bank teller demanding 1 cent. It's the Villages.
It's what?
It's a Villages. This guy's, by the way, his mugshot is, man, great. I included it. His name is Michael Fleming. Okay, he's 41, so I guess he was in the Villages, but you can't be of the Villages because he's not old enough to be in the Villages, right?
He may be family.
I think that you got like a time limit on how much you can. We've had this whole conversation before. So anyway, a bank robbery suspect was arrested. He handed a teller a note demanding 1 whole cent.
A cent?
A cent. And the teller was like, a cent withdrawal is not possible. And he goes, so you want me to say the other word? And the teller was like, what? And deputies arrived at the bank. Fleming was still in the building. He was taken into custody. He has no criminal history. He was arrested on a charge of robbery and $5,000 bond. So I don't understand that. And that's where the story ends. I don't understand this. 1 cent? Like, are you just trying to get... Did he think that he wouldn't go to jail if it was 1 cent? Like, what are the...
That's not a felony, though.
I mean...
1 cent?
Yeah, and it was a note. I would like 1 cent. What is that? I don't know. We got a whole other hour coming up. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey will be joining us later as well. Stick with us.
Can you also clarify Sungmin's question?
Sure.
How is it that the president was still tired 12 days after returning from Europe, had a cold, but then went to the Waffle House, and then the following day staged such a huge comeback that he gave those North Carolina remarks. Like, help us understand.
Have you had a cold before?
Of course I've had
okay.
a cold
before. Okay, so you probably, well, come on, Jackie. Let's be very, let's be.
12 days after he returned, though.
But
and
you
he
also
jet lag yesterday.
Hold on a second. There's a cold, there's a jet lag, you combine that. He continues to work on the for the American people day in and day out around the clock. Things happen. And the cold thing is something that you all pointed out during his debate. We didn't even point that out. You all pointed that when you heard his voice.
Wait,
being
what? Mixed.
Because he knew he had to push through. He knew he has to power through. That's what presidents do. If you care about this country and you don't care about yourself, you care about the American people, you care about delivering for this country, you care about how you're going to continue to work every day in and day out, you push through.
How is it that we found out that he had a cold? You guys remember? Kane, how did we find out
that he had a cold? I heard it from the White House, but whatever.
Yeah, that's right. They said, oh, Biden has a cold. That's what it is. He's got a cold. That's why.
It was in that list of excuses.
Well, first it was, the original was stutter. Then they're like, yeah, that's not going to work anymore. He's got a cold. Oh my gosh, he's overprepared. Yes. We don't like his makeup. Oh, international travel. It's international travel now as well. They have that too. Wow. So, oh my goodness. So there, I'm telling you, now it's all of the reporters are asking this, and we've been highlighting that in this first couple, in the first part of the show. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour with you, Dana Loesch here. And in the meantime, I keep saying, this is just funny to me. Trump is so silent on this, and the smartest thing that he could do right now is stay silent on it. Don't take, never, what is the phrase? Never murder your opponent when he's killing, when he's committing suicide. He does not need to slow down this momentum. Trump needs to, somebody said, and I had retweeted it because it was funny. A friend of mine had said that the way that Trump is remaining completely silent while the Democrats self-destruct is kind of scary. It's like that scene in Jurassic Park where the Velociraptor learns to use the door handle. He's learning. They're so mad about it too. Here's the other story. Hang on, let me find this. So this is the New York Times right now. They're so mad. The New York Times has this story out. This is this morning. Trump continues to delay naming a running mate amid Biden debate fallout. Donald J. Trump has not named a running mate this week. They are so mad. They called him Donald J. Trump. That's how mad they are. They're like, they are so ticked off. They're like, oh my gosh, they need something. The dumbest thing he could do right now is announce a VP. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please, for the love of all things holy, if you ever listened to anything I've ever said, and I know his camp, because I know a lot of people in it, they do check it out from time to time, the program. Oh my gosh, please hear me now if you've ever heard me. Do not announce the VP just yet. Don't do it. Make them livid. Make them mad by not saying anything. They are looking for a reed to grab to save them from this sand trap. Please do not say, don't give them a life raft. Don't say anything. Don't post anything except Happy Independence Day. Let them do this. Save your energy. Oh my gosh. Please, for the love of all things holy, just a little prayer that I have that I'm asking for right now. Because they look how mad they are. Look at that first sentence. Donald J. Trump has not named a running mate this week. They're so mad. They don't even know how to deal with it. They're so pissed off. And that's all this article is mad that he's not given them anything to flip out about. So all they have to talk about is how bad Biden's doing and all of the stuff in the Democrat camp. They're so mad at him. It is hysterical. So I hope that he's just sitting there watching and laughing at it, because he's uncharacteristically quiet. This, you got to say, it's uncharacteristic for him. He needs to stay that way because they only know how to deal with his predictive behavior. when he messes up the algorithm, they have no idea what to do. They're like, what? Where's the running mate? Where is it? He was supposed to. He has not named a running mate this week. Donald J. Trump. I mean, they're so mad. They use his middle initial. Donald J. Trump. They're so ticked off. Gosh, I love it. Just cry, seethe, whatever. Now, here's the other thing that came out. They're just now starting to lose it over this because this came out like right before the show started. The New York Times Siena College poll. You'll see this. Question. If the 2024 presidential election were held today, who would you vote for if the candidates were Joe Biden and Donald Trump? Now, I have not looked at the crosstabs for this, but it's the New York Times, okay? Likely voters to registered voters. I actually think this is honest. I think that they would not weigh it because they want Biden out. So I do think this is an, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think that the New York Times poll is honest because they want Biden out. And it's Biden 43 to Trump 49 with likely voters. Registered voters is 41 to 49. Oh, my gosh. You even have Debbie Dingell an hour ago going, he doesn't have a lot of time here talking about Biden. He doesn't have a lot of time. He needs to figure out what he's doing. He doesn't have a lot of time. Guys, he doesn't have. Oh, they're losing it. They're losing their minds. Now, while all this is happening, God help him. I mean, to not like, I actually don't. He says, according to his spokespeople, Associated Press, Biden plans public events blitz. Doesn't he need a nap? They're trying to push back on pressure to leave the race. Corinne Jean-Pierre said they're trying to turn the page on this. What? The White House announced, because he's doing the governor's call. They have a staff meeting today. And then he sat down. Where's this at? Sorry, I got to pull this up. He's doing this interview. He's did an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos that's entirely pre-recorded, so they can just chop it up however they want to. It's pre-recorded. He did an interview with Democrat stalwart George Stephanopoulos, and it's pre-recorded. He's going to sit down. It's going to be pre-recorded. I think it hasn't happened yet, but it has happened. It has happened. Sorry, I'm pulling this up right now. They announced they've already recorded it. Apparently, it's the exclusive first television interview with Joe Biden following the presidential debate last week. He's going to sit down on the campaign trail Friday with Good Morning America. Well, it's already it's pre-recorded. It airs Friday. It's pre-recorded. They have an extended interview that will air Sunday with George Stephanopoulos. Do you think one interview is going to help him? No, it's not. This is so stupid. And he grants the first interview to Stephanopoulos over at ABC, and it's going to be an assist. He's just doing it to be an assist. It's pre-recorded. It's not going to be a live interview, but that's part of his big old fundraising blitz. He's going to whatever he possibly can. They've got to try to turn this around somehow. So we'll see. But so he's got that interview. They've got. It's just bad. They got that interview. They've got the calls. They've got all. I mean, I don't know what he's. It, guys, this is just. There's going to be more and more leaks that come out over this. In the meantime, Trump's got fundraising. They're doing an event. Axios reported on this last week. They're doing an event coming up on July 17th, where apparently they will have the VP nominee by that date, because the VP nominee's being advertised as being there. So it's a big fundraising event. The pressure's building on Biden in the meantime. So they don't need to do anything. Trump's camp does not need to do another thing. So you've had all these lawmakers, four lawmakers total so far have come out. In part, one of the things that Biden's doing today is trying to get support from other congressional leaders. Hakeem Jeffries will be interesting in this. He is the House Minority Leader, and he says that he's hearing, per Axios, that Biden needs to go. that he's got to go. So there we are. Interesting. And all the Democrats in swing districts that were first elected in 2018, they're saying he's got to go. We can't risk this for him. A lot of them are thinking it's going to be Harris. It may be Harris, but Harris actually performs poorly against her. Out of all of the Democrat suggestions, she's the one, she performs the worst. She always has, though, consistently. So this, I mean, they're going to have to resign themselves to the fact that they're not going to win nothing if she ends up being the nominee. They'll lose the Senate seats. It'll be such a depressing effect, down ticket. And like I said, I haven't broken out this New York Times poll, but I actually do think it's accurate only because they want him out. That's it. Now, in the meantime, the press is trying to cover their backsides. This is so stupid. You have this dude who is with The Atlantic saying, quote, there's an extraordinary effort from alt-right commentators to claim that legacy media lied to strategically cover up the issue of Biden's age and only suddenly covered the subject. He says, it's fascinating to watch people I respect express this idea and frankly jarring. What? Well, first off, that's what you guys actually did. You literally did it. That's exactly by the book what happened. Number one. Number two, don't try to throw in that douchebag alt-right phrase just as a way to sort of plant the seed of doubt in the minds of people as a guilt by association thing. There are Democrats who are not alt or right or alt-right who are coming out and saying this stuff. Derek Thompson's an absolute douchebag. This is such a, and I know I don't deserve to expend any more energy to describe him in any more courteous a term. That's exactly what he is. This is some Orwellian garbage. I mean, to think that people out there are just like making this up and that it's and saying that the media lied to us. The media did lie to all of us. The media has lied to all of us from the very beginning. You are a bunch of oversensitive rat bastards. That's who you people are in the legacy press. You have been a hurdle on the path of freedom for the American people. You have not been an attack dog or a watchdog for the people, as was the nature of the very creation of your industry. You turned into lapdogs for this administration, for one political ideology. That's what you've become. You are the Pravda of America, all of you. All of you are so thirsty to be power adjacent that you're willing to sacrifice the principles of this republic. And on the eve of Independence Day, gaslight us all into thinking that you actually aren't culpable in doing this. Not even hearing it. Golly. So they're trying to save their backsides. And in the meantime, there was a reporter that asked, what does the president do between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.? That's it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So, first and foremost, Gavin Newsom is launching a podcast with Marshawn Lynch. That's weird, right? Ex-NFL star Gavin Newsom with Doug Hendrickson and who's Lynch's agent and a friend of Newsom's and Marshawn Lynch. They're all doing a podcast together. It's called, the stupidest name in podcasting, Politicking. He's trying to be culturally relevant, guys. Gavinism. This is all, like, that's, yeah, come on. A cafe owner was forced to close when neighbors complained. They did not like the clinking of teacups and they didn't like the smell of bacon because they're absolute brats. There's no other nice thing to say about these people who would be upset over the smell of bacon. And clinking teacups, really? Is that they got upset. She had to close her business, her livelihood. She finally reopened it. This was in Britain, Emma Ailes. They said that the sound of clinking teacups and rattling of cutlery was ruining the tranquility of the area. It's a restaurant and it's in a giant, I don't even understand how you could hear it because it's in a field. There's nobody near it. It's so dumb. People are so stupid. A new law allows 14 and a half year olds to drive to work in Iowa. Now, I don't want to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean to like Iowans or anything, but like what is there for them to hit? Right. right? Like, what would they hit? I'm not trying to be a jerk, but like, for real, I have friends who live in Iowa. Just like hay, corn. Like, what are they going to hit? You know, run into corn stalks. So Boeing is going to buy Spirit Aero for $4.7 billion in a stock deal. So, and Kane's like, a failing airline's buying its way closer to a monopoly. That's what you say. Yeah, well. And a Texas family was exposed to mercury through skin cream purchased in Mexico. What? Stay with us. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's next.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at those 700 delegates who are now uncommitted and get into their action. And I do believe that all the delegates are committed only for the first round. And so you can actually fashion the process that's already in place to make it a mini primary. And I would support that. Absolutely. Ooh. We can't close that down and wish to open up everything for the general elector. And I think that Kamala Harris would acquit herself very well in that kind of a process. But then it would be fair to everybody. Mm-hmm.
So this is new audio from James Clyburn, who's really the kingmaker of the Democrat Party. And I was saying this last week, the only reason Joe Biden's president of the United States, because James Clyburn came, saved him during the primary and delivered South Carolina for him. And there was a deal that was made there. You put Kamala Harris on your ticket, then I'm going to make sure I deliver, you know, a crucial demographic voting block for you. And that's exactly what Clyburn did. And then Clyburn came out yesterday evening and said, no replacement unless it's Kamala Harris. Now today he's like, yeah, we could have a mini primary, because I think that he realizes that having someone as unlikable as Kamala Harris as the lead on the ticket, that's an insurmountable odd. She was in last place in the primary back in 2020, and she's never been popular. She can't raise money either, which is incredibly significant when you're going into this much of a deficit if you switch it out like this in the 11th inning. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. I have to say, before we bring on my next guest, I'm laughing my head off at the New York Times. So mad. They went after Trump with this stupid lawsuit, the state of New York. Now the New York Times is like, can you believe that Donald Trump hasn't announced a VP yet? And they're mad because he's not giving them anything to write about other than Biden. And they're like, Donald J. Trump hasn't announced a VP candidate. Like, they call it by his middle name. They're so angry. They don't have anything else. And in the meantime, all of this is happening. And then I started laughing harder because Andrew Bailey comes out. You know, it's another day that ends in Y. And he's like, whose backside can I kick today legally? Let's see. You, New York, I'm filing a suit against you. So it's filed at the Supreme Court under Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution because of the insane way that New York handled that lawsuit. And Andrew Bailey, Attorney General of my home state, beautiful state of Missouri, joins us now on this Independence Day Eve. And sir, it's a pleasure to have you. I want to get into this lawsuit because you and I are very much on the same page with New York. And I love the way that you're handling this. But I have got to get your opinion on everything that's happened in the past, like, 48 hours with the Democrat Party.
Oh, my gosh. They're in an infinitely regressive death spiral. I mean, it's absolutely it would be comedic if it wasn't injecting poison into the Democratic election process and depriving Missourians and citizens of every state the right to actually engage in a meaningful way in a national election in the heat of a campaign in the most consequential presidential election in this nation's history. Let's start with this idea that Biden shouldn't be on the ticket. The rest of us knew that months ago. They should have pulled him before these states had their primaries and their caucuses. Now they're wanting to play a shell game. Again, that undermines the integrity of the election process. Why did we have primaries and caucuses if they're going to play a shell game and swap somebody out for an unknown and then deny us of our meaningful voice? But then you see Joe Biden reacting to the immunity decision from the United States Supreme Court. And like, has anyone told this guy that he probably missed the early bird special and they're out of tapioca pudding because he was out doing a press conference at 5 p.m. And oh, what a press conference it was. 4 minutes and 59 seconds. No questions from the media. This guy should be popping champagne. Right, this means that he can't be prosecuted for aiding and abetting in human trafficking and fentanyl distribution from the chaos at our southern border. This benefits him. I mean, this is absolute insanity. And I absolutely think that he should not be the president of the United States, but the Democrats shouldn't be allowed to swap him out now. That's totally unfair.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's what Clyburn was talking about. Do a mini primary, because if they do what you're talking about, they're cutting all the delegates out of the equation. And then it's just you know, the power players within the Democrat Party that are deciding who the substitute's going to be. And that kind of that scares me as too, because it's all the people who have been leading these witch hunts this entire time. Let me segue into the New York case, because Missouri v. New York lawsuit filed today. And this has to do with the jurisdiction of this case. So for the people who, because I know that there's so many things Democrats have been throwing at the former president. For the people who may need a recap, this is that suit where they try to like strawman up something to charge him with to take it out of state court and make it a federal court issue. And that's what you're challenging.
Yeah, that's right. Look, this lawfare against President Trump, again, it's undermining the integrity of the democratic process. They're supposed to be the sacred guardians of our democracy. And yet what they're doing is essentially denying people the ability to engage in a presidential election. Missouri is a sovereign state with a sovereign interest in participating in a national election on equal footing with every other state. And we can't let a rogue prosecutor and a collusive judiciary in the state of New York and their communist witch hunt persecution, it's not even a prosecution, it's a persecution of President Trump that takes him off the campaign trail and silences him. That's depriving Missourians and anybody else access to a presidential candidate in the heat of a campaign. It's unconstitutional to allow one state to deprive other states the ability to participate in a meaningful way in that election. That's why we filed suit. And you're right. Article 3, Section 2 of the United States Constitution gives original jurisdiction to the Supreme Court. It's Missouri v. New York. Game on.
We're talking about Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. This headline that came out, Real Clear Politics had it, and it was former Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, now senior advisor to the Biden campaign, told MSNBC that, you know, these newspapers that are talking accurately about everything happening with the Biden campaign, that they are exerting undue influence, was the phrase she used. She's accusing them of election interference. Now, that sounds wild to me, especially considering what happened in New York with this case. How is that not election interference? How is the gag order not interference?
You're right, Dana. Though using the judicial process to violate President Trump's constitutional rights and violate our right to hear from him, using that legal process is, in fact, election interference. Newspapers reporting, even if I disagree with the reporting they're doing, is protected by the First Amendment. These people hate free speech, and they want to destroy it in the name of silencing any political opposition. And it starts with President Trump, the gag order. Now it's going to newspapers, which I don't have any love for the legacy media, but I'll tell you this much. It's dark days in our republic. And shame on the media for legitimizing this lawfare and for not covering the fact that large swaths of this country feel left behind because they put the official imprimatur on this sham judicial process and, again, deprived us of access to a presidential candidate. He can't be out campaigning if he's tethered to a New York courtroom and potentially sentenced to prison, and he certainly hasn't been allowed to speak on these issues. That's core political speech that he would be giving to his constituents. We have a right to hear from him.
Right.
So that is absolutely using the legal process to poison our democratic process and interfere in this election. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to assert our sovereign interests and our rights here in Missouri.
We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. I wanted to ask you, too, also about this Second Amendment issue regarding the Department of Commerce and them limiting the number of firearms that Americans can export, et cetera, because we just had, you know, the Chevron decision, this from the Supreme Court, essentially, you know, gutting the overreach of this unelected bureaucratic administrative state. So how would that impact this with the Department of Commerce?
Well, we put a marker down. This is just a right to sue, essentially. We sent a note to the Department of Commerce. Like, first of all, whoever gave them the authority to limit our constitutional right to keep and bear arms? And what they've done is propose a rule through the Bureau of Industry Security. I've never even heard of this agency. It's some obscure niche agency. But they've promulgated a rule that would amend a federal statute to thereby limit the number of firearms that both individuals and manufacturers can export. This is the government manipulating the marketplace to try to drive down sales, drive down profits, drive down in investments into these companies to try to dissuade people from trading and buying and selling firearms. It's an attack on the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. They lost in the head-to-head battle on the individual right to keep and bear arms when the United States Supreme Court handed down its decisions. So now they're trying an end run around to try to destroy the marketplace for firearms, but it's still an attack on the Second Amendment. We're not going to stand for it. And I'll tell you, you're absolutely right. Chevron being overruled is a huge win for our Constitution. And what it means is that Federal agencies can't amend statutes. Only Congress can do it. This reinvigorates the separation of powers doctrine that is inherent in our Constitution and is intended to maximize our freedoms and liberties.
I think that was such an important decision, too, as well, talking with, I think probably maybe of this term, talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey on the social media entity, because you were at the tip of the spear on this, Missouri filing suit and fighting the Biden administration over this suppression. Did that decision, maybe there's something that I missed. I don't know. It really kind of shocked me because it felt like to me, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, it felt like to me that if the government uses a third party agency, then it's not tyranny. If they're going through a social media company, then it's not censorship. That's how I interpreted this.
Well, Danny, I'll tell you, the headlines and the lamestream media are 180 degrees wrong on this issue. And I've seen this before. The knee-jerk reaction from the mainstream media is to say, oh, well, the Supreme Court sides with Biden. And like, no, no, no. If you dig deeper and read what the opinion actually says, I think the opposite is true. First of all, yeah, I would prefer there be a preliminary injunction in place. But what the court said was that there was absolutely government censorship going on big tech social media platforms in 2020 and 2021, and that it's unconstitutional. All they said was you need to go back down to the trial court and determine whether or not that censorship is still ongoing beyond the year 2021 to the present. Well, of course it is. We know it is because we see it every day when people are deplatformed, shadow banned, de-emphasized, or straight up booted off social media. We have broad tools of discovery now that we're back down at the trial court level. And we're going to use those tools to continue to root out the vast censorship enterprise. The fight for the First Amendment goes on.
Because this was, and if for those who didn't know, General Bailey was like right there leading the fight on all of this with this case, with the Biden administration and the federal government suppressing, whether it was the laptop story or, you know, whatever it was, anything that contradicted the narrative coming out from the federal government and this administration. And they were talking about standing, which I thought, I think that was something that Barrett had maybe mentioned in her opinion, because now there were so many decisions. I know at this point now that everything's kind of running together. But I thought, well, that's what AGs do. They represent the people. If anybody has a standing, it would be that route.
Yeah, I think you're right. Look, I mean, really the problem here was traceability and being able to show the harm is ongoing to today. That evidence is out there. We'll get it.
That
you
makes
show
sense.
Me one example in history where the government has ever trampled on people's rights, expanded and then contracted of its own free will. That doesn't happen. Somebody has to force it. That's what this lawsuit is about.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair legal question, though. Should states have a different standing analysis when we're bringing suits on behalf of the entire population of our state? I think that's a fair legal debate and one we're going to explore going forward.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And I think you're the only person who's brought that up. And I would love to see like discussion on that. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, God bless you, my friend. I mean, you're just embodying everything that Independence Day stands for and going out and fighting the good fight on behalf of Americans. And we are grateful, not just Missourians, but everybody. And we're thankful.
Thank you, Dana. Happy Freedom Day.
Happy Freedom Day. Thank you, sir. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. That would actually be a really interesting discussion to see, like the scope of that. And I've never heard that brought up before. So that would be very interesting. We have a lot still to hit, guys, as the press avail is still going on. And Kane keeps saying that people are going to get kicked out of the press room. It's still happening. KJ, is this like one of the longest she's done? It's been this whole hour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it has been.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We would invite the president to come here and tell
noted.
Us that directly.
Noted, noted, Kelly.
But he's awake.
That's inappropriate.
As you heard from your colleague, the president of the WHA, that's inappropriate. Thank you, Kelly.
Jeez. Wow. It was the White House press briefing. So who was it that asked? That was Kelly O'Donnell with NBC. And someone was like, well, is he awake, though? I think that's a fair question. The hell is he? I mean,
that was James Rosen, apparently, reportedly.
Is that when you said that James Rosen's going to get?
Yeah, I thought he's going to get kicked out. He's going to get kicked out for that remark. I think there should be stuff like that on occasion.
Oh, my gosh.
In the White House press briefing room.
But and then they asked, they were like, well, how is it that he would get jet lag? And she was like, jet lag. First off, can we stop acting like Biden is flying steerage next to the crapper in the back? Can we stop? It's not like he's getting bumped because somebody's trying to get in the little tiny bathroom, right? He's on Air Force One, for crying out loud. You ever been on an Air Force One? I haven't, but I was at the Reagan Library and I got to tour that one that they have on permanent display. And guess what? It is a Hoss condo in the sky, right? Like, you've got a bedroom and you've got like a living area and there's a full-on kitchen and there's all kind. I mean, it's crazy. It's a whole house. It's like two houses on a plane. It's crazy. I mean, that house is nicer than a plane. It's a plane and it's huge. And there's like, he's got a bed on it. Shut up.
I'm not sure you can even get jet lag on a
I don't even think you know you're in the air on it. It's that big. It's huge. I mean, they got everything you want. You know, you want some mac and cheese and you know, you want to watch some Warner Brothers and eat some mac and cheese. They'll do it for you. It's Air Force One. You know, come on. You want to lay spread out on the bed and go to sleep, have a little nap. It's Air Force One. Come on. You know, it's the Bougemobile. It's Air Force One. And they're acting like he's in coach.
Air Force One. Get in, Jack.
Yeah. Get in, Jack. We're going to Italy. Come on, losers. We're going to Delaware. I can't, man. That's what they act like. Well, you know, he's got jet. Shut up. You don't have jet lag. You took a nap. Stop. You're old. You being old and like not sentient is not jet lag. Oh my gosh. Well, acting like he's sitting back there.
You can actually combine today in stupidity with that audio that of the reporter asking, like, how can 12 days later this be a jet lag?
Yeah, how would you have jet lag for 12 days?
And so then Corinne Jean-Pierre, she tries to answer that very question. Juan, do you want to?
No. Yeah. Oh, that's why it went as long as it did. Go ahead.
What Sungmin brought up, I think others as well. You did get numerous questions yesterday about the president's debate performance. You didn't mention travel, the jet lag, the foreign trip. So I think you can understand why it was a little bit puzzling to hear the president mentioning that as his explanation for the first time last night. Can you clarify whether when you took the podium yesterday, did you not know that was a major
factor?
And
I would say that is my bad. That is part of
my bad.
Definitely part of the explanation what had occurred. I did know that. But we were so focused. I was so focused on the call, on the cold, and that's what I kind of leaned into and talked about. But yes, his schedule did have something to do with it.
This is so bad. Oh my gosh.
From hirealiar.com?
I don't know. And then Kamala back there, the original Hucktaw 2024. She's back there, you know, like watching this, rubbing her hands together like, yes, yes. Yeah, everybody needs to stop making that a campaign thing because she's going to take it.
Yeah. So just know everybody's going on little mini vacay right now.
Yeah. All right, folks, I'm going to be out until July 15th. I want you to have a wonderful Independence Day. Please be aware of all your fingers and toes. I just have to say that because the mom and me will not stop talking if I don't. Be careful with the Roman candles. Be careful with the bottle rockets. And just God bless America. So glad to celebrate it with you. I'll be back on July 15th. Find us still at Substack. I'll be on social media. God bless. Happy Independence Day.